Welcome to the Hopeful Activist podcast from the Praxis Centre for Hope and Activism. We are all about exploring our role in God's mission to bring hope and transformation. Welcome to Hopeful Activist podcast. I'm Abby Thomas. It's great to be back with you today. We are going to be talking about COP26 on this episode, which is the United Nations 26th Climate Change Conference. And I'm very pleased to be joined by Rachel Mander, formerly of Praxis. It's so good to have you on the podcast, Rachel.
Thanks, Abby. It's lovely to be here.
Now, you've got your finger in a lot of pies. You work for Arusha, Hope for the Future, Faith for the Climate Network, and you are the founder member of the Young Christian Climate Network.
Yeah, it is a few hats, isn't it?
It's a lot of hats. Do you have a favourite? I mean, if you don't say Praxis, although you don't really work for Praxis anymore. So,
I am very fortunate to really enjoy my work in lots of different spaces and capacities, and it really does depend on which day you speak to.
Well done. Excellent. A good answer. So we're going to speak about COP26, as I said. COP, which I had to look up, stands for the Conference of the Parties, which is the countries that signed the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change in 1994. So why is COP26 so important?
Yeah, well, I guess I like to describe it as like the Olympic Games of climate change. Like it's the only place that all these countries come together to talk about it and discuss on an international level how we're going to take action at the kind of national level in order to mitigate climate change.
And why is it important to you? How did you get involved in climate action?
It's been a journey of a few years for me. It started very much when I was at university, and I had friends who were very active in kind of campaigning around climate change. And for them, that was a lived out expression of their Christian faith, which confused me, but has led me to where I am now today, because I kind of considered it and looked into the theology and was like, oh, wow, there's this whole other dimension to my faith that I haven't really explored or encountered before. And yeah, so following that kind of starting point has taken me lots of different places now and has led me into the work that I do.
And part of that is with the Young Christian Climate Network. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we launched last August 2020. So it's only ever existed in the pandemic world. And it was kind of created out of a shared sense of feeling that actually a lot of us who really cared about climate change and saw that as part of our faith had taken individual action ourselves, like with diet or transport, or people will be familiar with lots of different ways of doing that on an individual basis, but didn't really feel like we had a space or a community of people where we could act in a more sustained way by being encouraged by one another and act in a way that was going beyond the individual to advocating on a more collective basis, and therefore being able to do so much more than you can just do by yourself. So the kind of phrase that we always talk about is that we're an action-focused community, where the action builds community and the community enables us to act.
And you're particularly doing some action towards COP26. What's the significance of the UK hosting COP26, do you think?
Well, there's a phrase within climate diplomacy that says, if you host it, you own it. And the host country takes a really has a huge responsibility towards some of the diplomacy that needs to be in place ahead of these really large scale negotiations. The Paris government was in charge of the COP that led to the Paris Agreement. And they are widely praised for all the work they put in ahead of that conference, which then led to the kind of landmark point of the Paris Agreement, which is kind of the commitment that is at the international level for all countries to limit global warming to 2 degrees and pursue limiting it to 1.5 degrees. And so the hope for the UK is that they use our resources and diplomacy and expertise to enable a successful conference.
And do you feel hopeful?
I'm always hopeful, Abby, but sometimes you look at the preparations that are happening at the moment and they're not where they really should be for this stage in the process. And a lot of the policy announcements that have been coming out of government, there's a lot of, disappointment within some people campaigning or working in this area about some of the decisions which are seen to being undermined the UK in their host role.
Tell me about that.
So you might have seen on the news that there was permission granted to a coal mine in Cumbria. That's been taken back for inquiry, but there's no news on that until September. There's also various plans for airport expansion, and the government has cut both international aid and has like stopped their Green Homes grant, which was their kind of flagship environmental policy. So there's concern that although the UK has pretty good high level climate commitments, what we don't have is any sense of coordination across government policy and a kind of roadmap for how we will reach and deliver those climate commitments that we've said we've had. And so it's difficult to ask other countries to scale their ambition if you yourself have put some ambition in place but haven't backed it up with any action yourself.
So tell me a bit then about how Young Christian Climate Network, how you've responded to COP26. How are you planning to make a difference?
Yeah, well, there's a long Christian tradition of pilgrimage, and there's also a tradition of pilgrimage ahead of these COP conferences, including the one in Paris that I've mentioned. And so we thought, okay, how we would really like to do that as an act of solidarity and an act of faith, but also as an opportunity to talk about COP26 within the UK church context and get people engaged with climate change. Obviously, it's COVID. So we thought, okay, that's going to be a little bit trickier. So we've broken our pilgrimage down into a relay. So the idea is that people will take on a stretch of the journey up to Glasgow between themselves. And so it's a 1,000 mile journey from Cornwall, which is where the UK hosts another international negotiations, the G7, in June. And it runs through lots of different cities and then reaches Glasgow in November ahead of COP26. And we're really hoping that UK churches join us for that, getting involved in just walking and supporting along the route, offering accommodation, coming to meet and greet people who are walking or walking themselves. It's very much open to all ages. And also campaigning around the financial provision for other countries. At the moment, countries are being pushed into debt because of climate change and the impacts from climate change. And one of the contributions that the UK could make in its role as host of COP26 is to really make progress in this area, especially as the UK itself is a global major financial player.
Impressively, you've got, for such a young organisation, you've got the support of loads of organisations, including Christian Aid. What could we do to help you, though? How do you want us to sign up and get involved? I know that the walk, for example, goes through Leeds, so I'm going to be coming and joining you there.
Yeah, so if people go to our website, which is yccn.uk, you'll find an interactive map which shows you where the relay goes. And when you click on the map, it will tell you which date it's coming your way. And then there's a long sign up form, which we hope you'll have patience with, which asks you for where you are, where you're based kind of thing, and then which things you'd like to get involved with. And you can get involved on the route directly. You can get involved with local events and campaigning. And you can also support with some of the other things around that, such as our campaigning work. Whatever it might be, whatever skills you have, there is definitely a place for you to come and join in with what we're hoping will be a really exciting and fun way to participate in things ahead of COP26.
Excellent. And what I should have asked you just before when we were talking about finances, is there a connection between the cuts to the aid budget and the climate?
Yeah, that absolutely is. And it also feeds into the UK's role as host, because the aid budget is one of the UK's international commitments. So it's not just a nice thing that the UK has decided to do. It's actually part of the G7 itself. It's all those countries are meant to give a proportion of their GDP towards overseas aid. So they've gone back on that. and that therefore undermines the whole process of having these international commitments if countries then don't follow through with them. And also a lot of the expected impacts from climate change are around community resilience, and countries like the UK cutting our aid budget leads to widening inequality and undermines preparations for the impacts of climate change that are already happening and are expected to come as well.
So if you could look to the future and you sort of look 10 years ahead, what would you love to have seen happen in those past 10 years?
Yeah, well, there's there's so much that I'd love. I'd love us to look back and over this time, over these 10 years, and be like, wow, we completely transformed the landscape. We used the opportunity that COVID presented, even as it was a very difficult time, to reassess how our global systems run and prepare ahead for the future. One of the things about climate change is that it makes us so much more susceptible to things like global pandemics and is part of the cause of them. So I think a good kind of biblical example is the preparations in Egypt for the knowledge that there was going to be a famine. And actually, we could use this time, knowing that this is ahead for our future, to be like, actually, there are all the benefits of taking climate action are so much wider than just avoiding disaster. It's things like within the UK having much better home heating and cheaper transport and cheaper energy, and things that bring much wider societal benefits than just having to be prepared for risk.
And are you hopeful for that? I know we talked about hope at the beginning and realistic realism, but yeah, do you see the potential for that in COP26?
There is potential. I don't think it's wise to put all your hope in one international climate change conference.
Yes.
I would very much advise against that. However, it's important that when you have strategic opportunities, that you make the best use of those that you really can, and don't dismiss them out of hand. And I think we always don't know what's ahead. We always don't have the full set of information. So I would kind of advise against pinning all your hope on it, or equally dismissing something out of hand, and just, yeah, being faithful to the choices that we can make at this point.
And just before we finish, Rachel, I'm gonna throw you a perhaps a difficult question. So recently, more people have come to me and said that people around them argue that there is no point in any work against climate change or campaign for the environment, because God's just going to sort it all out, and in the end, everything will be made new. And, you know, don't focus on that. What's the theology behind your view on the climate?
I could say a lot about this, but that might not be helpful. I think one of the comparisons I make when I hear people talk about that, and I do understand how that kind of comes up, or people make those connections, is that one of the other things that we look ahead to in the new creation is that we ourselves are made new and made all that we can be. But I haven't heard any churches or Christians say that because we will be made new, we don't have to do anything to correct our character or work to be faithful now. People aren't like, oh, we'll just sit and wait. And I think it's exactly the same thing with our wider life in the rest of creation. We don't just sit and wait and be like, oh, it's fine, it's all sorted, we'll just sit and watch as things change or people are impacted by climate change. Instead, we're like, no, actually, we're called to love, and an expression of love in the times that we are in is to make sure that everyone can flourish on the earth that God has made and bring glory to him in the way that we do that, and the way that we're honouring of other people and this earth that we've been given.
What a brilliant response. I'm just going to sort of get that printed on a t-shirt for the next time I get asked.
It's a lot of text for a t-shirt, Abby.
It's quite a lot of text, but maybe a bumper sticker. No, maybe too much. Anyway, thanks so much for being with us, Rachel. We absolutely love what you're doing. I'm really looking forward to, well, hopefully I'll see you at the relay.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favourite podcast app. And if you like this episode, please do us a favour and send a link to recommend us to some of your friends. Thanks for being with us, Rachel.
Thanks, Abby.
And we look forward to being with you next week.